When the sacred fire at the holy city of Ekotau was let flicker out by the drunken watcher, the great chief Anakanastota gave his otter skin crown with the white crane feathers and all the other badges of his office to his son, Terrapin, and became a beggar. He was despised and beaten with sticks and spat upon. Ekotau was abandoned, and although another holy city was set up, called Ustilani, or New Ekotau in Georgia, with an Yucca ceremony that lasted 7 days, the curse was not lifted from the Cherokee Nation. The drunken fire watcher was named Weldon Cox, and what became of him was known only to the war women to whom he was given. But neither his son nor his grandson, Big Wolf, was harmed. The grandson belonged to the Panther clan, the Sehani, because his mother was of that clan, and he was a great hunter and warrior. He was on his way to becoming a sub-chief, despite his grandfather's sin, and was well loved by the people of Yosana. "Put back that candy bar," he cried, where he lived, and then he fell in love with a virgin of his own clan, a girl called Looks Through Her Fingers. He could not marry her, of course, because it was forbidden that a man marry a maiden of his own clan. But he did bind her to him in the Atahuna, the ceremony that made her his sister. And one August new moon, Big Wolf offended his god almost as much as his grandfather, and lay with the girl and got her with child. For this, Big Wolf was tortured and slain by the war women, and became a Nanehi devil with horns for eyes. The girl was killed too, but not until her child was born, and he was named Yudsenatunyanemonyuni, and he became Suti. But they cleaned him off, and he was all right. He was taken to the village of Anakalufti, and there was given to the women of Aniwodi, the paint clan, who raised the children whose mothers had died in childbirth, and also mixed paint on the side. This was in the year 1808, as the white man figured his days, and before Gusawigui, who was John Ross to the whites, became great chief of the Yanawigahugi, whom the hair faces called Cherokee. The white man had his own words for everything, not English, nor yet exactly Kituwa, the Middle Cherokee language, and the Uniwawa learned them and used them sometimes, although the outlandish vernacular caused a great deal of laughter among them. "But why do we use these words at all?" Suti asked his foster mother, the fat woman called Hemlock Stick. "Why don't we make the white man learn the Kituwa words, the words that have always been?" "Because their mouths are made so they can't speak them," his mother explained patiently. "They slobber, and they bite their tongue, and they choke on their own voices when they struggle with our language. It's only that we learn their imitation of Uniwawa talk so they can make themselves understand, poor creatures." "Kind," Suti scoffed. "We're too kind to everybody. What's happened to our warrior-ears?" "Ho!" Hemlock Stick laughed, her cheeks joggling. "Our little chief needs a kill, too. Go use your blowpipe." "On some grasshoppers, and then cool yourself, man." Suti stalked off, offended. Grasshoppers, huh? When he had killed his deer at 13. To be sure, he was a yearling, hardly more than a fawn. But the antler nubs had been big enough to save him a beating from the hunters, who took a dark view of killing fawns. The hunters were lordly men who strutted when they walked and guarded their decoy masks and hides as though they were sacred. They kept their pride high, even though the game was getting scarcer and scarcer, and the bison was gone, the elk were gone. The deer and the bear could be counted by dozens instead of by thousands, tens of thousands. Suti knew it was the whites who were responsible for all the meals of corn and beans, pumpkin and squash, with all too often not a morsel of meat to go with it, even rabbit or muskrat. The whites had no laws about killing a fawn or a heavy doe. They had no laws about anything. They were uncivilized, gross, rude, And yet the Grand Council at Astellani said they must be treated with friendship.